services, Lavazzi at boom1.co.uk present the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 249. I'm Adam, and at the moment I have with me Rhys Parton.
Hello.
Who's not on fire at the moment, but he could be later on in the show. Mary Lang.
Well, he should come to Ohio, where we're having a downpour of rain right now.
Oh, yes, please.
Yes. Is that a hello, by the way?
Hello.
And back from the blue screen of death, it's Kirby Bartlett-Sloane.
Master.
And hopefully later on in the show, we'll have Deborah Melrose, who is currently at the Doctor's. Hey. But we won't be having Matthew Kressel, who's in bed, or not so, as he just texted to say, sounds like you're having fun. And Ben Shoveler, who is at his dad's house doing stuff. Right, this week we're going to be looking at, well, initially, the worst of Doctor Who. Right, so, where's my iPad? I've got a new iPad, everyone.
A new one?
Yeah, it's a really good one.
You must be rolling in money.
Well, I am, because I've got my PPI through. It's not going to be rolling. Well, I'm not going to be rolling in it for very long, but but this is on HP, essentially, because I got it from the Vodafone shop. Yes, and the new iPad, it's an iPad Air 2.
That was me. Don't worry about it.
Thank you for that. An iPad Air 2, which you made me forget what I was going to say. Oh, yes, which is connected to 4G, which means I can go anywhere and watch stuff in HP.
Go anywhere, do anything, spend lots of money.
Yeah, well, it's a set amount, and I've got 5 gigabytes of data on it per month, so more than enough. Right, so...
I have one on my phone, and that's perfectly adequate.
Yeah, that's because you're about 10 years behind everybody else, Kirby. I'm sure that one day it'll catch up. Right, so we're going to look at, similar to last week, but we're just flipping it on the head, we're going to look at the worst.
Oh, Kirby keeps doing
that. Kirby, your order is up.
Well, that wasn't me this time. Yeah,
someone's obviously cooking something.
Oh, that was you. Okay.
Probably Alicia. It's probably a pizza just about to come out the oven. Right, right, so the worst of William Hartnell. So who should we start with? Rhys, what do you reckon? The worst three William Hartnell stories. This is going to be interesting. Probably the same as last week.
How about you save me last? So no, I'll save you to first.
I'll go on then. If you want to be saved to last, I'll go for Kirby.
Well, as I said in my fairly lengthy post yesterday afternoon, I am restricting all of these to ones that I've seen, which means in a lot of cases I've avoided watching ones which people have said are horrible.
Yeah.
And for the first two Doctors, I haven't seen enough to really to give a good selection. So I only have two for Hartnell.
Go on then, that's fine.
Number two, the Romans.
Right. Totally disagree, but go on.
Ed, I know at least two of you are going to totally disagree with this one. The worst, most boring Hartnell I have seen so far is Keys of Marinus.
Totally disagree with that one as well.
I told you.
It's not boring at all. You got a little, each episode is an individual story.
Oh, God, I was falling asleep by that trial part.
Did you watch it in one fell swoop, or did you watch it in little individual...
I think I watched it in two swell foops.
Fell swoops.
I would have watched it in individual episodes. You get much more out of it like that.
Well,
yeah, you do.
If we proceed with what I think we're going to be doing next year, then I'll probably do that.
That might be a good idea, but you have got to watch it again at some point. Okay,
yes,
Mary.
Are we still planning on watching
everything? Yes, we are. As of the new year. Mary.
Well, you know, the worst of all time, the Gunfighters.
I would say the Chase.
The
Gunfighters.
Totally disagree. Go on.
and then the rest of all the other, but the first episodes of an unearthly child, whatever, though, you know, they all have
second,
names,
third, and fourth episodes.
Yeah. Okay, those would be the worst for me.
Sort of disagree, but it's not that bad. It's just not as good. You basically, the episode 2, 3, and 4 are okay, but episode 1 is great. But I think if you just separated and had Unearthly Child as one story, what they should have done in the canon, if you like, just have that as a one episoder.
And then have
the Cave of Skulls.
That was among my favorites. So
yes.
Yeah.
But the rest of it is killingly boring.
Who said hey?
Yes.
No, I said bang. You said canon. Bang.
Oh, we're in one of those moods today. Okay.
Yeah, clearly.
I woke up at 2 a.m. Sorry.
Well, then. Was that how long you've been rebooting your computer for, then?
No. I did get back to sleep for an hour and a half.
And then you're going to go to work today?
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel sorry for your workmates.
More messages from Matthew. I can't come on the podcast.
Your honor is up, Adam.
Next is Reese. How's the bushfires going at the moment? Just have a bushfire update.
Well, there aren't any near me at the moment, so we're okay. Good. And as for my least favourite First Doctor story, I've decided that seeing as I've only seen three of them all up.
The same as last week.
I'll go for... Yeah. It hasn't changed.
In reverse order.
And so I'm going to agree with Mary's second choice in that the second, third and fourth episodes of An Unearthly Child weren't as strong as the rest of the stories that I've seen. So that would have to be my least favourite.
Okay. Is that it? What about the other ones then?
No, that'll be it.
That's it.
That's good. Before I do mine,
yes.
I'm going to just read out this message from Matthew Kressel. Hang on, if I can get it to come up. That's what she said.
He exactly.
says, nearest 24-hour Mackie D's is near where I work, which is a half-hour drive, sadly. Last time I sat at one, that wasn't 24 hours at using their Wi-Fi. The opening manager of it freaked out and called the cops on me.
Yeah, like you can't explain what you're doing.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like
I'm using your free Wi-Fi.
I'm sitting in my car using your free Wi-Fi, yeah.
Well, as I say, I'd be at a podcast anywhere because I've got 4G on my iPad. Right, my bottom three, and these are a bit slightly more legitimate than your lot. William Hartnell's.
Yeah,
stories,
you've seen them.
The third worst is The Gunfighters.
No,
it is one of the worst, but it has a certain charm to it, and it's the story that was on when I was born, so it has a certain connection to me that way. I think if it wasn't that, it probably would be Wimble One, but it does have a certain charm to it. But
a bit of je ne sais quoi for you.
Yeah, but it's still one of the worst. Right, the second worst is The Sensorites. It's not the worst simply because there are aspects of it which are quite interesting.
Yeah.
But on the whole, it's very boring. And the worst is Web Planet, which is just boring. It's just tedious and I dread having to sit through that again.
you're the one who won't let us do Randomizer.
No, we won't, because we're going to do what the Bigger on the Inside podcast did. We're going to do The Journey. We're going to call it The Journey. Through
I don't care for the Web Planet, and I don't care for the Sensorites much, except I respect their desire to experiment and do things differently. So I was just enjoying, you know, that, this is something nobody else was doing at the time, and they're sticking their necks out with this. So I admire them, even though I didn't enjoy them very much.
Well, yeah. Most of the Hartnell stuff's really good, so, but I had to pick out the worst.
The clips I've seen and the pictures of the costumes of Web Planet looks really, really creative.
Very good. Yeah.
The whole thing is extremely creative.
But it's just a boring
It's just silly. There's so many things about it that are so silly.
Yeah. Right, so next is Troughton then, and we're going to start with Kirby. Worst three Troughtons.
I could not do it.
What?
I could not come up with any that were bad. I've seen seven.
Come on. That's not necessarily have to be bad, but there is must be a list of preference, and at the bottom of that list of really good stories would be your bottom three.
Yeah, which ones could you not sit through again?
None. I'll have to bring the list up then. Let's see. Thank you. I just finished The Moon Base, and that was pretty good. Tomb of Cybermen is pretty good.
Well, while he's ruminating,
sort yourself out, Kirby. We'll go to Mary. Go on.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen that many Troughtons either, so I could only think of two that I really would not want to sit through again. One being The Dominators. and the other one being Web of Fear.
Mm, okay. It's an interesting selection.
I loved Web of Fear.
It's so tedious. They're going up and down and up and down and up and down through the corridors. It just gets so boring.
And the Enemy of the World was really good.
Enemy of the World was good.
Yeah, I just looked through the whole list, and I can't. Of the ones I've seen, I have seen Moonbase. I loved it.
Just which are your three? Right. We don't want to hear the whole list. We just
the worst of the best. Then that's what we're looking for.
Or your worst one or two.
Anyway, Reese. Reese.
Can't be that.
Yes, it can.
Okay. I've only seen two, and the one I enjoyed the least out of the two would be the Mind Robber.
Yes.
And then the one I enjoyed...
He's only seen two? Be quiet!
Look, also, it doesn't mean I hate it. It's just the weakest out of the two that I've seen.
All right.
I'll give you that, because I had to do the same thing when we come around to Tom Baker.
Yeah. Look, I love these two stories, but... I just enjoy that one.
All right, let me look at the list again.
Reese, what is the other one you've seen?
The Tomb of the Cybermen.
Oh, okay.
And I enjoy that one a bit more than the Mind Robber, although the Mind Robber is a lot of fun. Uh-huh. But out of the two, just, you know, a bit less than the other one.
Okay. Right.
Okay, let me look at these again, and I will say...
Brief. Go on.
Do we have to hear each one?
No. All right, Web of Fear would be
the worst,
and
the best?
I loved it. I loved it, but it's the worst of the ones I've seen.
Okay, thank you. Eventually, we got there, didn't we?
Yes.
Right, my three worst Troughton stories are, in the third place, The Highlanders. Although very good, as like we've always established, it's the one I'd probably go back to last. Third to last, I should say. It's not. Jamie's in it, but he sort of comes in at the end as a sort of tag on. It's okay, but it's the third worst.
Thank you, Ben.
Yes, thank you. In second place, the Crotons. I just find the Crotons themselves a bit irritating, but it's still a really, really good story. And the worst of the best of the Troughtons, well, the worst story in my view is the Space Pirates. Although, again, I've seen the missing episodes and listened to the audio. It's a bit of fun, but it's probably the worst Troughton story. Yes.
Basta, may I suggest that when we have gone through the entire journey, that we do these lists again?
Yes, but that won't be for several years.
Yes.
Oh my God. What,
especially seeing as they're making more of them too.
Right, Pertwee now. So, shall we start with Kirby? Are you able to pick three worst Pertwees?
Yes.
Go on then.
Okay, hang on.
Oh, for goodness' sake! Get yourself sorted out, man.
No, Spearhead from Space would be number three.
All right.
And it's good.
Yes,
it's good. But
especially
just,
in HD.
And now, these final two are ones I found boring and are not good. Mm-hmm. And you're going to disagree with one of them.
Yeah, go on, Em.
Ambassadors of Death.
Totally disagree.
Oh,
God.
I totally disagree, too.
Boring. And then the Silurians.
Mm, okay. Again, I wouldn't disagree with that because... it's okay, but it's Matthew Blimmin Kressel. Right, Mary.
Okay, I haven't seen all of Pertwee's era, but of the ones I've seen, I would say The Green Death and Planet of the Spiders.
Is that third Green Death of your?
The Green Death is third place.
Yep, okay, yep.
Planet of the Spiders is second place. And Claws of Axos would be first place. Mm.
Totally disagree.
And those last... What was the second one?
Planet of the Spiders.
See, I haven't seen all the Planet
of
the Spiders.
I love Planet of the Spiders. It's lovely.
For me, it really drags.
I've seen the last episode, of course.
Oh, have you? Just the last episode? Not
just
the previous
last episode.
Five. Oh, you're missing out. Cracking story.
Well, we'll get around to it.
Reese.
Okay, my problem here is that with the Classic Who stories that I watch, I tend to go for the ones that my friends say are rather good. So I pick them and I watch them, and I also enjoy them. So when I list them as my least favorite, it's just because I didn't enjoy them as much. So,
yes. Yeah. That's how it works, Kirby.
Yes, number three would probably be the... No, hang on, that would probably be the Ambassadors of Death as well, but that means I enjoyed it more than the other two, is that right? Because number one...
Right,
yeah, number one is the worst,
And then the second one would be the Green Death, and then the third one would be the Demons. Now, they're all fun stories, and they're all very good, but, you know, we're just doing this little list here, so... There we go.
Yeah, I just find all the, you know, the chases and the, you know, the helicopters and the motorcycles and the water boats and everything else just tedious sequences.
Oh, that's right. I've seen that episode of Planet of the Spiders as well.
Yeah. Right,
and actually, it was I found it kind of fun.
Okay, right. Well, my bottom three poetry stories are in third place, The Sea Devils. Again, this I had to go through this list of stories with a fine-tooth comb to pick out three.
Master, isn't that the one that was filmed on the Isle of Wight?
Doesn't make any difference. I still find it a bit boring.
How's the story?
Spearhead from Space, second, simply because...
Oh, good. I'm not alone. Thank you.
It's just
you
weird.
Are not
it's weird alone. Where it's filmed. It's got a strange atmosphere to it. Consider it's only four episodes, you know, it does drag a little bit. But it's still pretty iconic, isn't it? But it's just a bit of the shame at the beginning you get just him falling out of the TARDIS in the black suit. And I would have liked a bit more of a regeneration, you know, feel to it in relation to seeing him more of him in Hartnell, in Troughton's outfit. Troughton's outfit. And the worst, and again, very, very difficult, and I actually do quite enjoy this story, but as far as everything else, probably the least of a very good era of Doctor Who, is Colony in Space.
Okay, haven't seen
it. It's very weird to actually pick something with the Master in it, with Delgado in it, to actually put it as the worst. But it was a very difficult choice picking those three, because they're all quite good. Yeah. Right. So we're moving on to the most difficult, I reckon, of trying to pick three of the worst. It's the Tom Baker era. Kirby.
Master, you are going to come back around to me because I am going to... No, I have three, but there are three which are unexpected because I fully expect you guys to be putting things on the list of worst that are not bad at all.
Well,
to me.
Yeah, fine. Well, that's obviously going to be the case, but carry on.
Oh, okay. You want me to continue?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, number three. And it's still one that I love because I love the swimming pool and the corridors of the TARDIS, Invasion of Time.
Yeah.
I remember seeing that when I was like 19 and just loving having seen the inside of the TARDIS. But still, it's got some issues. Number two is one we did fairly recently, Megloss.
Oh, I love Megloss, but go on.
And I like it too.
Oh, no, it's
thing
fine.
Is,
yes.
All three of these I like.
I totally understand, don't worry.
And number one, and I even loved this one when we did it, Underworld.
Yeah, okay. I think it's a genius bit of television, actually managing to do a whole story with CSO and really not noticing that much because the story was so good. But yeah, I totally understand.
The thing is, you guys are going to start coming up with all this nonsense about Creature from the Pit and stuff like this, which are actually good stories.
Okay, if you say so.
You have to ignore
my worst ones
they're
for
all,
me.
You don't
good.
Have to, you don't what you need to do is look around and forget about the fact that someone made a poor design choice.
Yeah.
And one of my favorites is the Ark in Space, but it's got somebody in a sleeping bag crawling around a corridor.
Yeah.
Past that, it's got a great story.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, okay. It's more of somebody in bubble wrap. Isn't it?
Proceed.
Right. Mary.
Okay, well, my third choice was actually a toss-up between Underworld and Ark in Space.
Right.
Ah. Second to last would be Seeds of Doom. And the one I think is the worst of his era is the Suntaran Experiment.
Oh, okay.
Mm. Oh, interesting.
Very.
That one to me is colored by the fact that I loved it when I was a kid.
Mm.
And so I haven't seen it since, so I don't know.
Mm. Mm. It's just kind of tedious.
It's only two episodes.
Yeah.
And Tom Baker broke his arm in it.
Yeah.
So.
Collarbone.
Oh, really?
You got out patented. Right then, Reece.
Well, my first one, I will agree with Kirby with The Invasion of Time, although I did enjoy it. Second one would be Image of the Fendal. That'll be in first place. I've got to find another second place one. That's the thing. I enjoyed all the ones I've seen because I've gone for the most favorite ones.
Yeah.
That
makes it hard.
Oh dear, which one? I'm tempted to say The Leisure Hive, but it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it.
Leisure Hive.
I'll just go for that because I can't think
Alistair
of another
Pearson's
one.
Alistair Pearson's favorite Doctor Who story.
Yeah. It wasn't bad. That's the thing. Yeah. Most of the ones I've seen are the highlights of his era because people keep telling me that, so I go and see it and I really enjoy them.
Mm. Okay. Right, my worst three, Tom Baker's, and again, this is a right chore trying to find, trolling through with that many stories to find the three worst. Mm. But
there are a lot.
Third place, Revenge of the Cybermen. I put this on simply because I look at it and I think maybe it's because I've watched it so many times, I don't know, but I find it a bit irritating that the Vogon logo is the Time Lord logo, the Sela Rassilon. It's just a bit bland, even though it's gold-coloured. This is also the first story, I think, that Cyberman had a supposed weakness to gold. On the whole, it's not that good. But I have watched it loads of times simply because it was the first released on VHS. So, and that's all we had at the time. But, I don't think it's that good. In second place, Full Circle. I don't like
that's
the way
an interesting
they,
choice.
They
yeah.
treat
yeah.
canine in the story. Obviously, friend of the show is a writer of it, and Andrew Smith, I believe, wrote this story at a very tender age. But again, these are quite good stories, so no offence. And number one, and it pains me to say this because of its reputation. And it's a reputation probably quite well earned, but I actually do thoroughly enjoy watching it. It's The Horns of Nymon.
Nymon, Lord Nymon.
I just think it probably is the worst. It was very. I did
see,
think
that's
of
one
Nymon
I've avoided
Eden, but,
because of its reputation.
And that's one that my memory is again colored by the fact that I loved it when I was a teenager.
Yeah, it's very difficult.
And I haven't seen it since. I own every single Tom Baker.
So I'm thinking of stories I'm going to watch and rewatch. I think those would be at the bottom of the list for rewatching, even though we will rewatch them.
Haven't seen Horns of Nymon yet.
No, we'll have fun watching it, but it's
it has the worst overacting in the universe.
Yeah. Okay, well, talking about acting, now I was very close to putting The Mutants on there simply because of the acting of one of the characters in that story. But The Mutants is actually a very, very good story, so I couldn't put it on there for poetry. Anyway, so that's Tom Baker covered. Right, moving on to Peter Davison. Slightly easier picking out three of his. What do you think, Kirby?
Number three, Castrovalva.
Oh. Go on, then.
And again, I like all these.
Yeah, okay. Mm.
Number two, The Awakening.
Oh, again, very good, but I can understand you just said you like all of these.
Right, and number one, and I even like this one, Terminus.
Okay. Very good. Right, Mary?
I rather favor the Fifth Doctor era, so yeah, for me, two of these are ones that are, it took some thought. Number three, I have Time Flight. Mm-hmm. Number two, I have Frontios.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one would be Four to Doomsday.
Oh, okay.
Hmm. And see, I haven't seen...
That seemed interminable.
I haven't seen those three. So,
okay. Hmm. Well, we will
I understand Time Flight is supposed to be pretty bad.
Well, we'll find out. Reese.
All right. Well, seeing as these are the three that I've seen, Caves of Androzani is number three. Mm-hmm. Planet of Fire is number two. And Black Orchid is number one.
Yeah, it is really weird to hear Caves of Androzani in a list like that, but fair enough.
Yeah, Black Orchid really should be on the list, yeah.
As you'll recall, last time Black Orchid's on my top three.
I think it's okay, Black Orchid. So, it's quite a good little story.
It's okay. It's just one I enjoyed the least out of the three that I've seen.
I'm sure it'll move up your list once we've actually seen a few more of them. My bottom three, in third place, Frontius. Again, very good story, but no, as we've said.
I haven't seen it.
Pardon?
I haven't seen it.
Okay. Number two, Warriors of the Deep, simply because of that ridiculous
Murker.
And the poor way they brought back the Sea Devils and the Silurians. It really was a bit of
shame.
And number one, Time Flight, unfortunately, simply because of the absurdity of the whole thing. And also the fact that the Master was so obviously the Master in that costume and things like that. So it was. I still have fun with it though. To be fair, but it's probably the worst. I think it's the worst Davison story. So there you go. Okay, Colin Baker. Now, if Matthew was here, he'd probably list the whole lot. So it's just a shame Matthew isn't here to provide his insight into the Colin Baker era. But Kirby, you have a go.
Yeah, for. My number three and my number two, I'm going to say I like both of these. And my number one is one of the most hated episodes ever.
Is that hated by you as well?
number three is The Ultimate Foe.
Okay.
Number two, Attack of the Cybermen, and both of those are okay.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
And number one is Twin Dilemma. Oh, God!
Can't say I enjoy that, because there's aspects of that I really enjoy, especially Colin Baker striding around in Peter Davison's outfit. I think he actually looks better in it than Peter Davison did, funny enough. And of course Nicola Bryant looking fab. There's aspects of that I really enjoy. I think it's been harshly treated simply because of the bad costume of the main baddie in it. It was Mestor, and some overacting by the legendary Morris Denham. But on the whole, I think it's quite good. It just suffers because it came after Caves of Androzani, in my view. But Mary, what do you think?
Well, first of all, speaking of costumes, I have to mention that at Chicago TARDIS, there were identical twins there that, on two different days, picked perfect costumes for identical twins to pick. One day was the twins from the Twin Dilemma.
Cool.
And then they pull it off perfectly. And then on another day, they did the Almost People. They did, one of them was the real person, and the other one had enough putty on her face that it looked just, of course, like the real one.
Oh, very good.
But the only partially formed face. It was excellent costuming.
Excellent.
Anyway. Okay, number three, and again, I like most of Colin Baker's era. Mark of the Rani would be number three.
Okay.
And number two would be The Twin Dilemma.
Right.
And number one would be Time Lash.
I like Time Lash. I think it's charming having H.G. Wells in it. I just think
silly story.
I suppose so. And also I like the reference to the Third Doctor and Joe as well.
I started watching Time Lash and I got bored.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Since I haven't seen it all the way through, I didn't count it.
Okay. Mm. Reese.
This is quite tricky because I've enjoyed the Sixth Doctor stories that I've seen. I can see why some people haven't, but I've enjoyed them. Number three would be Revelation of the Daleks.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Number two, Mark of the Rani.
Mm-hmm.
Then number one would be Vengeance on Varos. And I enjoyed all of those. Yeah. Just out of the three, Vengeance, I enjoyed the least.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Wow, yeah. Because Vengeance is on my top.
All right, okay. Well, that's good, isn't it?
Oh, dear. How dare he?
How dare he have opinions?
Yes.
Right, my number three is The Ultimate Foe. Unfortunately, that story suffered because the first half was written, obviously, by one of the greatest Doctor Who writers of all time. waiting for an answer. Yes, go on in.
Robert Holmes.
Robert Holmes. Yes, Robert Holmes watched.
No, I did. I don't have Wikipedia.
And I do believe the second half of it was written by probably the worst Doctor Who writers of all time, in Pip and Jane Baker.
Pip and Jane. Mm, you could have asked me for that too. So.
No. So for me, it is worthy of its third to last. Because basically the first half is really good and the second half is just dire, so there you go.
Yes.
In second place, sadly, The Twin Dilemma, but I do love Twin. I do defend it, but it is, unfortunately, it does. If you look at all the list of Colin Baker stories, it is down there, unfortunately. And for me, the worst Colin Baker story, the one I find most irritating of all, is Terror of the Vervoids. I find it so irritating because obviously that was... Bonnie Langford's first story, and she just made it a bit more acceptable later on, but in this one, so annoying. And Deb's customer's just coming through, so we'll just wait for this.
Oh,
okay. So right, it's like, have a good Christmas when you can get it.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, yes, sorry. Who have you got next then?
We'll wait.
Yep. Mrs. Clark coming. What's that? That's just a cat.
That's fine, but now we can move on. Right then, so next is Sylvester McCoy, and I find this one obviously quite easy, so we'll start with Kirby.
Oh, I couldn't find this easy at all, because I... Good grief. Is she done yet? Sylvester is one of my absolute favorite doctors. I love his stuff. And the only one I have not seen is the one that you guys are all going to put all the way through. That is the one that you guys are going to put as number one. And that's, Paradise Towers. So I could not include that one. So my number three, and this is hard. This is really hard because I love this one, but it's just my number three because you forcing me to put a number three.
Yes.
It's Battlefield.
Oh. Hmm. Okay.
Number two, Time and the Ronnie.
Okay.
Number one, Silver Nemesis. Huh. And I liked those.
Yeah. Okay.
I have a feeling that Paradise Towers will be number one, and then Battlefield will go back to in the middle.
Right. Okay.
Sorry to disappoint.
Fair enough. Mary?
Well, it's hard for me to just narrow it down to three. Because the Seventh Doctor is not my favorite TV Doctor. He's my favorite Big Finish Doctor, but not my favorite TV Doctor. Number three is the Happiness Patrol. If somebody would just, break up that harmonica, I probably could enjoy it some more.
That could have ended up in my top three too, but it didn't, but it could have done.
And number two is Ghostlight. Number one. It's just too confusing, Ghostlight is. Anyway, and my number one least favorite is Time and the Ronnie.
Okay. Right, Reese. Is he caught fire?
The fires. Yeah.
The
he's
fires,
still on, as
the
far as I can tell. He's still on.
He's still on. Maybe. But...
Hello.
Oh, he's there now.
Oh, good.
Sorry,
it's weird. We thought you'd caught fire.
Thought you'd been smoked out.
Oh. No. It's okay. As I was trying to say, this is tricky for me because one of the ones that was on my top three is now going to be on my least favorite because I haven't seen that many, but I really liked it. And that would be... I think it would be Ghostlight if that was my third of my third favorite. It would be my third least favorite. I enjoyed it.
You just don't understand. Yes,
No. I really liked it, but I preferred two other ones to it when I went, if you go back and listen to last week.
Okay.
Also, it made sense to me. What was the other one? Then Battlefield, which I also enjoyed. Then one I didn't enjoy that two people here are going to disagree with me with, Delta and the Bannermen. These are my number one. Like it.
I love Delta and the Bannerman.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Matthew would agree with you on that one, I think, because he did voice that last week, didn't he? Okay, well, my three, bottom three, and it was quite... A difficult part of it was actually picking three of the worst, because in my view, there's probably about six stories that are really bad.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that one.
Some that came to mind that didn't appear there were things like Survival. That springs to mind, but it didn't quite get into the top three or bottom three of number three, Greatest Show in the Galaxy.
Sake.
Yeah. It was brilliant.
No, it wasn't. Number two, Paradise Towers. I'm sorry, I have a sort of slight affection for Paradise Towers simply because one of my friends was in it. But she refuses to come on the show and talk about it because I don't think she's
Tell us more, because remember, I'm still watching it.
One of the Red Kangs, but she's only in one fleeting scene in episode three, I think. She was a Red Kang. Well, I had to watch the whole story twice to try and find her, but eventually...
Aren't those the best Kangs?
Well, the red ones.
Yes.
I don't know. But no, it's not very good, to be fair, Paradise Towers. It's very melodramatic in a bad way, especially with... is it Pex? The character Pex. I don't like it. Number one, I'm sorry, but Time of the Rani is just a joke. To be fair, it's a shame that the special effects aren't too bad, and you know, you've got Kate O'Mara on top form and doing a great job of pretending to be Bonnie Langford.
Yes, that was one of the best parts of it.
But it's just really, really bad. When I watched that, when Doctor Who returned, and I watched that, I thought, oh God, is this what we've got to look forward to with the Seventh Doctor? It's easy to pick that one out, I'm afraid. Yeah. Sorry. So moving on to, we're going to skip Paul McGann simply because it's not fair, but we could talk about, if Matthew was here, we could talk about the worst three big finishes. Do you have a worst three big finishes, Mary?
Yeah. Yes, definitely. as soon as you said it, it totally escaped my mind, the absolute worst one. I guess we'll just skip me because I can't think of its name. If it comes to mind,
please come back and tell me. Right, Eccleston. What's his name again? Kirby, that's the one. Kirby, what do you think of the worst three Christopher Eccleston stories?
Now, this was difficult because there's so few.
Okay.
Yeah.
My number three is actually good, but of these, I just had to put something down. Father's Day.
Yep.
Oh, really?
Goodness. Yeah. That does surprise me.
Wow.
Well, realize there's only one season to choose from, but the pickings are few.
Paul Cornell, for goodness sake. Yeah, go on. Number two.
It's just I'm not likely to go back and watch that one.
Oh, okay.
Minuet in Hell. That is the absolute worst.
Okay, thank you.
Is that the one with the Brigadier?
I don't think she heard you, Reese.
The Brigadier?
Is that the one with the Brigadier?
No, the Brigadier is not in it. No.
Okay, because I've heard there's one that had the Brigadier in it, and apparently it was a letdown, and people were disappointed with it because they didn't use him very well. And lots of people say that one is their least favorite.
Okay, the Spectre of Lanyon Moore had the Brigadier in it, but that wasn't the Eighth Doctor.
Okay. I'm just trying to be smart.
Yeah, and it was a disappointment, definitely. Yeah.
Okay. Where are we up to? We're still with Kirby, aren't we?
Number two.
Yep.
For Eccleston, Boomtown.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And number one is the combination of farting. Aliens of London, World War III. And I still like it. I like aspects of all those.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Mary, Eccleston.
Well, since there was only one season of his stories, and I liked pretty much all of them, I just picked one that I would not want to sit through again, and that would be Bad Wolf.
Okay.
Really?
Really?
Really.
Wow.
That's it, is it?
That's it.
Even though probably is, if you did a list of favour, there probably would be three at the bottom, wouldn't there?
They forced me to do three.
Mm.
Nobody forced you to do anything.
Oh, there's no need to get petulant. Pick that up now. Right. Reese.
Okay.
While Mary deciphers the bottom two, the other bottom.
I mean, I just want to go with Bad Wolf and leave it at that.
Sport. Right, then go on, then, Reese.
Okay. Just for the same reason as Kirby said, he wouldn't go back and watch it too quickly. Mine is long game, but I do enjoy it, and I love Simon Pegg in it.
Yeah, exactly.
I just won't go back and watch it as soon as the other ones. And then my other choices are exactly the same as his, Boomtown and the Slovene two-parter.
Okay.
I just don't like those characters.
See, yeah, these people accepted the challenge, Mary.
Master.
Yes, get on with it.
I when I'm trying to introduce someone to watching Doctor Who, I'm embarrassed when they get around to Aliens of London World War III.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Okay, well, my bottom three Eccleston stories, and I didn't find it that hard, like I say, just make a list of favour. And the ones at the bottom of the list, third bottom was The End of the World. Shall I have to give a reason?
Yes.
It's a bit...
You just want to go back and watch it as soon as the other ones?
Yeah, exactly.
That's one I'm likely to watch over and over again. I think it was on my top three, wasn't it?
There's some good bits in it, but... Yeah. Number two, Aliens of London World War III, which I just think is stupid. Yeah. And number one, The Long Game, unfortunately. Even if Simon Pegg's in it, it's still, a story can't be good just because it's got a particularly good actor in it.
I thought he did a good job.
He did, yeah, but the story's not right, so another maybe difficult, but I don't think that difficult. David Tennant. So, Kirby, worst three David Tennant stories.
Number three, Idiot's Lantern.
Okay.
Oh.
Number two, Fear Her.
Okay.
Number one, Daleks in Manhattan, Evolution of the Daleks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. That seemed to be quite easy, didn't it?
Yes.
Yes. Any particular reason why Daleks...
They get easier as we go to 11 and 12.
Okay. So Daleks in Manhattan and Evolution of the Daleks is your least favourite Tennant story because...
It's crap.
The whole human Dalek...
Oh, yes.
...thing. Oh, God.
Okay.
Yes.
Right. Mary.
There were good things in it.
Yes.
There's always good part. There is no such thing
Andrew Garfield,
as
Spider-Man.
There's no such thing
right.
as
there's no such thing as bad Doctor Who.
Yes. But yes. We've always said this. It's our motto in some ways. Mary.
Okay. My third worst would be Fear Her. Second worst would be Love and Monsters. And my...
I love Love and Monsters.
And my... and, well, other than... I mean, I love the scenes of the kid and Rose's mom. Those scenes I liked. Other than that, ugh. Anyway, and my first, I agree with Kirby, Daleks in Manhattan, Evolution of the Daleks.
It's quite common, that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, Reese, this is a subject that you're quite familiar with, so go on. This will be quite an interesting list.
Well, my third least favourite would be 42.
Oh.
Oh.
Hang on. Let me just think about this. I'm going to get the order right. All right, I'll count down because I agree with the other two that the Daleks in Manhattan and Evolution of the Daleks is terrible.
Right.
Although it does have good parts in it, like Kirby said. Yeah. And then it's 42 would be number two. Yeah. And my third, and just because I wouldn't go back and watch it as soon as the rest of his era, would be Fear Her, but I do actually quite enjoy it, and I enjoy David Tennant in that. But it isn't his strongest episode.
It's quite interesting that a lot of these stories are narrowed down to a group of about five, isn't that? And the doorbell's just about to go. Well, my three, in third place, Daleks in Manhattan, Evolution of the Daleks, because it's crap. Second place, Idiot's Lantern. I find it a bit ridiculous, really.
May I suggest you wait?
Yeah.
Are they done?
No.
They're done.
That's what you get for having your studio right next to the front door.
True. Anyway, as I was saying.
I think he doesn't have a lot of choice.
Better get up to
yeah.
Right, so in second place, Idiot's Lantern. Like I said, it's...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's still quite enjoyable. Like
exactly.
But it's not very good, really, to be fair. and the worst, and I try to not put it at the top of the list, but unfortunately it does always boil down to being the worst Tennant story of all time, Fear Her. And even, I mean, I did consider all the specials and stuff, but some of the specials aren't as bad as people try to make them out to be.
Right, yeah.
Even I included the Christmas specials and stuff like that in this selection, but yeah, unfortunately... Fear Her is the worst David Tennant story. It's actually one of the worst of all time, to be fair. But we'll talk about the worst of all time later. Right then, moving on to Matt Smith then, Kirby.
Journey to the Center of the TARDIS is number 3.
Okay.
And that was hard because, okay, let me combine number 3 with also the widow in the wardrobe.
Right, okay. Oh, good grief. Yes.
So. Number 2, see, I wasn't sure if I could include the Christmas special, so yeah, put both of those as number 3. Number 2, Night Terrors.
Aww.
No. And then number 1, I think I'm predictable, The Curse of the Bad Plot.
Thanks, Mom.
Yeah.
Go on in, Mary.
Well, I totally agree with Kirby. Number 3 would be Journey to the Center of the TARDIS. And I would include most of Season 7B because I think most of those stories were very badly imagined. Yeah. My second to the bottom choice would be The Almost People. And the worst one, I agree, too, Curse of the Black Spot.
Hey.
That pause before you finish that title.
Yeah, because I have plot in my head every time I go to say it. I have to stop myself. Yeah.
Yes, that was deliberate.
Right. Go on then, Reese.
But this is tricky for me because I like this era.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. I'm going to Season 6 a lot for my least favorite, unlike Mary with her Season 7 Part 2. What would I go for as number 3? Actually, for number 3, I would go for Crimson Horror. I knew that would cause controversy.
Upset Kirby.
Actually, no, because he mentioned it and because he's including it, I'll put the Christmas special he mentioned. I've even forgotten its name.
The Doctor, the Widow, and the Wardrobe.
I'll swap that out for Crimson Horror. Then number 2, probably The Power of 3, just because nothing happened.
Well, yeah, you know, that whole 7B.
That's part A, actually.
It had such promise. Power of 3 it had did. Promise.
It did.
And it's got Brian in there, who I love, but it let you down. And then my least favorite... And probably one of my least favorite stories of New Who entirely would be the Almost People two-parter.
Yeah. I'm with you on that one.
Well, these stories must be pretty bad because my number 3 is the Rebel Flesh Almost People.
I mean, fair enough,
Rebel Flesh is better than Almost People, but they are a whole story at the end of the day.
Yes.
Number 2 is The Curse of the Black Spot.
You almost said it.
No, I didn't. And number 1, you'll probably all disagree with me, but I find The Beast Below pretty tedious. And
I disagree.
I disagree.
No, I don't like it, unfortunately. Again, it's got some good things in it. I would watch it again, but it's probably my least favourite Matt Smith story. And number 4 would be The Doctor, the Widow and the Wardrobe. I tried to put it in the top 3, but I did find in my mind that I disliked those 3 worse than I disliked The Doctor, the Widow, and the Wardrobe. Right. Peter Capaldi.
I couldn't figure out where to put The Rings of Akatan in there, too.
Again, that's probably number 5.
Is it a bad story?
Right. Yeah. Moving on.
I've become quite fond of that one, actually.
That's right.
Which surprised me because I didn't like it at first.
Nice reference to The First Doctor and Susan. Isn't it? Right, then. So, Peter Capaldi, then, Kirby.
This
should be easy for you.
Yes, very easy.
Yeah.
Number 3 is Into the Dalek.
Mm.
Oh, wow.
Number 2, you ready?
Yes.
Dark Water, Death in Heaven.
Okay.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did not like.
Okay.
And it's only surpassed by In the Forest of the Night.
Great. Okay. Mary.
I would put the entire Twelfth Doctor season in my bottom. The only ones that kind of rise to the top of the bottommost stories are Kill the Moon and Mummy on the Orient Express. Those are my tops, but everything else is bumping along the bottom.
And I like Kill the Moon. I don't understand why people didn't understand.
No, well, I mean, that's why I said Kill the Moon and Mummy are the only two that kind of rise up a little bit. The rest of them are all along the bottom.
So go on then, Mary. What are the bottom ones then?
All of them, except those all two.
So they're all as bad as each other, are they?
Oh, my God, yes. Yeah.
Now you're doing a Kirby, just... Not the ones he enjoyed.
You guys forced me.
No effort there whatsoever. Right then, Reese, what do you reckon?
Okay, number three is Listen.
I am just listening, but what do you reckon?
Really? Oh, ha ha ha. Is the fourth episode of this season. There you go. Figure out which one that is. Number two, even though I really enjoy it, is Kill the Moon. And then number one is The Forest of the Night.
Oh, okay. Interesting that none of those appear in my bottom three, which are, in number three, Time Heist. Bit drab. Number two, Deep Breath, which is too long. And the worst of the series, by a long, long way, Dark Water, Death in Heaven.
Oh, good.
Great.
Yes, I'm sitting here agreeing with all of you.
Such a letdown.
But the funny thing is, I loved all the episodes I mentioned too.
I'd quite happily watch all those three again.
So you're disagreeing with me, Mary.
But they are the worst.
You couldn't pay me to watch any of these episodes again.
So
except maybe Mummy.
Well, we're not going to pay you when we get around to them again.
Well, that moves us on to...
we'll just have a couple of sick days.
From that list you have in front of you, and I have done so, I've managed to do a bottom three of all time. So, can you do a bottom three of all time? Yes, Kirby.
Master, I did not do it that way. I split it from classic and modern.
You're not supposed to do that, because the Doctor Who is a continuation.
You're going to get his classic and modern.
Go on, then. Go on, then.
Classic, number three, Silver Nemesis.
Right.
Number two, The Boar That Is the Keys of Marinus. And number one, Twin Dilemma.
Oh, good Lord. Okay. Well, that's only because it's on Doctor Who Magazine's list.
And modern.
Yeah.
Number three, In the Forest of the Night.
Mm.
Number two, Daleks in Manhattan, Evolution of the Daleks.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you know what number
fear
one is.
Fear Her, by any chance?
No, I like Fear Her.
Oh, sorry.
The Curse of the Bad Plot.
Oh, yeah, of course. I should have thought that. Mary, were you able to do it a bit more satisfactory than Kirby?
All my bottom three are from the classic series. I don't have any from the new series. So my bottom three, number three would be Time and the Rani.
Uh-huh.
Number two would be the Santarin Experiment.
Yep.
And number one, da-da-da, the Gunfighters.
Okay. Reese.
Okay, I'm going to mix it up. I'm going to have one from the classic series and two from the new. And to be honest, I still rather enjoy my choice for the classic series, even though two of you will disagree with it, Delta and the Bannermen. Then it is the Farty Two-Parter. And then it is Evolution of the Daleks and Daleks in Manhattan, or the other way around, however the titles go.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, my bottom three of all time, in third place, Fear Her. In second place, The Web Planet. And in first place, Time and the Rani. Goes without saying, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, there we go.
We got there. Right. Before we try and embark on a little bit of a look back over Series 8, I think it might be a good idea to have a look at some feedback we've received over the last 7 days. And if Debbie ever arrives, we can actually have to go back to the subject we've just spoken about, because I'm sure she'd probably taken a lot of time to actually compile her list. Right.
You have me around for one more hour.
Well, that's your own fault for wasting time, Kirby. Isn't it, everybody?
Yeah. It's just a Levine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just waiting for me Safari to load up. Because unlike other people, I only have Windows open that I actually need on my computer. Right, so the first bit of feedback comes... Oh, good Lord. Comes from... I've got some spam here, funny enough. Somebody we haven't heard from for a while, so I think it'd probably be a good idea to hear from him now. And I haven't got the theme tune queued up, so I'll probably have to dub that in later. Bear with me. Here we go.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Inca.
Yeah.
I've been a bit busy for the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, I can see that.
No, I don't like to mention my charity work. Oops, I just did. This coincided with Adam getting the curse of the red spots. So I've had a month off from the podcast. I cannot raise much enthusiasm for going through all those years to find my favourite or least favourite episodes. Doctor Who, in the old days, tried ideas that they did not have the budget for, and I do not want to blame them for trying. Tom Baker went a bit odd towards the end of his long stint as the Doctor. The two stories in the Capaldi era I did not like, Forest of the Night and Kill the Moon, were still well acted and photographed, especially Lanzarote as the Moon.
Because you know I'm all about that space, space travel. I'm all about that space, space travel.
Favourites, just the 21st century docs. Eccleston, Rose, The End of the World, Father's Day, Tennant, Human Nature, Blink, Silence in the Library, Smith, mm-hmm. The 11th Hour, The Pandorica Opens, The Girl Who Waited, Capaldi, Deep Breath, Mummy on the Orient Express, Dark Water. Pandorica joke. Today I found out the US state of Georgia has its own Stonehenge, but it's best not to mention it. Oops, I just did. Deep Breath joke. Tonight I'm gonna party like it's 1888. I hope Debbie Momrose has a nice birthday next Sunday.
Oh, I forgot about
even
that.
Though it is the shortest day of the year. Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian. That's Ian Kirk, everyone.
Yeah. Master. Thank yeah. you.
Master. Yes. Yeah, the Georgia Guidestones. I haven't seen them. They're about an hour drive from me.
Oh, okay. Well, sorry about that. I'm sorry you haven't seen them, but you know, sometimes these things happen.
I plan to go over there one of these days. It sounds interesting.
Okay, well, what we do?
Will you perform the Doctor's monologue? Hello, Stonehenge!
Sure! Sure! I challenge! Okay!
Right, hang on. I'm just doing a thing right. Oh, yeah, so we got Jeff Waddle, who has done his list of three worst. In Hartnell, his three worst, Savages, Edge of Destruction,
that's Savage,
and The Web Planet. I can't believe Edge of Destruction is there.
Edge of Destruction
is
there.
Neither. That's awesome.
Quite high on my list of best Hartnells, that one. Troughton, Wheel in Space at number 3. Space Pirates, number 2. And Dominators at number 1. Hang on, see, he's done 3-2-3. So I don't know, it's some sort of football formation there. But I think he meant 3-2-1. Pertwee, in third place. Monster of Peladon. I love Monster of Peladon, although I don't like the way the Ice Warriors become baddies again. Number 2, The Time Monster. Again, Time Monster is really good in my view, but everybody has their own views. And number 1, Death to the Daleks. Again, I said it's one of my favourites last week, so total disagreement there. Tom Baker in third place, Underworld. In second place, Invisible Enemy. Again, I love Invisible Enemy.
Invisible Enemy.
K-9's first story, etc., etc. The Big Prawn. Probably why he doesn't like it. Yeah. And he says, number one, Lord Nymon.
Lord Nymon.
Peter Davison. Right. Number 3, 4 to Doomsday. Number 2, King's Demons. And number 1, The Awakening. There you go. Colin Baker. Number 3, Attack of the Cybermen. Number 2, Surprise, Surprise, Twin Dilemma. And number 1, Time Lash. Sylvester McCoy. Number 3, Dragonfire. That didn't come up at any of our lists. Number 2, Survival. I did consider it, but because Anthony Ainley's in it, I sort of gave it a bit of leeway.
I considered it.
Mm. And number 1, Surprise, Surprise, Time and the Rani. McGann, the TV movie. Eccleston. Or Eccles Cake, as he actually puts it down. Number 3, Rose. again, it isn't that good, but it, to be fair, when you look at everything else, I mean, when it first went out, it was the first new episode, so it was outstanding, and it is
pretty
good.
And it reinvented
good.
The show. Yeah. It gave it the pace, it gave it
there's
character.
So much better has come after it. But yes, it did.
If they'd left out the wheelie bin, it would have been better.
And you could say the same of the Daleks. Really, if you look at it, it's not that good when you look at the rest of the Hartnell era. But without it, Doctor Who still wouldn't be here. So there has, certain things about it that make it amazing, but there's still lots of other better things. Number two, The Farting Aliens Two-Parter.
Yes.
And number one, The Long Game. Is that the one I chose?
Yeah.
Right. Interesting. So it's amazing we go from completely disagreeing to more or less agreeing there. Right then. Yeah. It says 10 inch. I think he means 10. Number three, Muppets in Manhattan.
Yes.
Number two, The End of Time. Totally disagree. And number one, too. Fear Her. Sort of disagree. I mean, sort of agree, not disagree, sorry. Smith. And number three, the regeneration one. Well, he's done two, so I don't quite know which one he's talking about.
The beginning of season six.
Well, he says, can't remember if it's day, night, week, month, year, or of the Doctor, too.
Oh, he's talking about the Christmas episode. Yeah,
the most recent one.
Time.
Yeah, I didn't like that
It didn't make my list.
Number two was The Lion, the Widow, and the Wardrobe. The Witch and the Wardrobe, or whatever it is. The Doctor, what he says, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, number two. Number
Christmas
one!
Special.
I'm sorry about the swearing, but it's what he says. Shitemare in Silver. The worst Doctor Who story ever written, is what he says in brackets after that. Capaldi, number three, Dark Water. Number two, Death in Heaven. Essentially the same story, but never mind.
Yeah.
And number one, In the Forest of the Shite.
Wow. He likes making that pun, doesn't he?
Yes.
Excuse me.
And he says, P.S. If someone votes the gunfight as the worst Hartnell, there will be trouble. Oh, dear Mary.
Oh, boy. You
might have to run. But not in the direction of any bushfires that Reese is currently sheltering from. So thank you, Jeff. At least somebody put the effort in there.
Or into the direction of Jeff. So stay away from those two things.
So, yes, thank you, everyone. Right, so I'm now going to... Yeah?
Well, Thomas Cookson also put his list
on Facebook. Oh, can you do that? Because I didn't see that one.
Oh, okay. He said, for Hartnell, The Chase, The Ark, and The War Machines... Trouton, Dominators, the Crotons, and the Space Pirates.
Yes.
Pertwee, Planet of the Daleks, Death to the Daleks, Monster of Peladon. Baker, Tom Baker, Underworld, Invasion of Time, Leisure Hive.
Yep.
Davison, Time Flight, Terminus, and Warriors of the Deep, and he says worst ever.
Okay.
Colin Baker, Twin Dilemma, Attack of the Cybermen, Time Lash. Those three tend to be bottom three, don't they?
Yep.
McCoy, Time and the Ronnie. Oh no, Dalton the Bannerman.
Yes.
Silver Nemesis. Eccleston, End of the World. Farting Aliens, the Aliens Villain in World War III, and The Long Game.
Yep.
Tenet.
I agree with that.
Tenet, Love and Monsters, Runaway Bride, Sound of Drums, Last of the Time Lords. Smith, Hungry Earth, Cold Blood, Let's Kill Hitler, and The Doctor, the Widow, and the Wardrobe.
I was confused for a second there because he put the Doctor, comma, the Widow in the Wardrobe. It looked like stuff.
And Capaldi, Robots of Sherwood.
Oh.
In the Force of the Night, and he agrees with me, Dark Water, Death in Heaven.
There you go.
Oh.
I don't want to go back and see those two again.
Oh, I'd watch them again because it's Doctor Who. Why?
They were too dark to... Well, we're about to talk about Series 8 anyway.
Yes, yes.
They were... They were too dark. They were not Doctor Who to me.
Well, I think they were Doctor Who, but they were, like you say. But well, then, talking then, we segue there into the discussion on Series 8, and thank you for your input. Who's that, sorry, from the input?
That was Thomas Cookson.
Yeah, thank you, Thomas. More from everybody if you want to contribute to the show. 20mb.feedback@gmail.com if you want to contribute an email. Or if you want to join the group, please do. It's the 20MB.2 podcast Facebook group, which you can join, as I just said.
And don't rely on the feedback address, which is at whoon.co.uk.
Pardon? Oh, that one, yeah. But, yeah. Excuse me. Right then. All right, so Series 8 began with Deep Breath. And here's Alicia. Hello, Alicia.
We're going driving.
Are we?
Yeah, because I have to cancel my driving lesson because I've got college stuff to do tomorrow morning. But yeah, I'll drive to Newport tomorrow.
Yes. Do you want to say hello to Reese and Mary? Bye. Okay, bye.
Bye, bye.
Oh, well, I think we've all been snubbed.
Yeah. Haven't we all? Oh. Co-founder of the show, everybody. Right then, so, yeah, Deep Breath was the first episode of the series. It was exciting, you know, when it came back, and obviously we see the new Doctor on screen, but in hindsight, there was a lot better that came after it. I didn't, you know, looking at it, but, you know, you think, oh, great, we've got an extended episode of Doctor Who, but they didn't really need to extend it. Yeah. It's just a bit of a, you know, I think they should have perhaps. If you look at the 11th Doctor's first story, you know, which was outstanding, it's a shame they couldn't have repeated that with the 12th.
I think that is going to be a pinnacle first episode for a Doctor out of any era. I think that's a very good episode.
Yeah.
I think Rose is pretty good for that too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I use 11th Hour as an introduction for people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Me too.
I mean, obviously, Christmas Invasion is a pretty good introduction of.
Yeah, I like that one too. It's an introduction.
He's not doing much of the first half, isn't he? He's asleep for most of it. So, at least you know, the 12th Doctor was up and about, but he wasn't quite himself for a bit. But at least he was up and about doing things.
Don't look at the mirror; it's furious.
I like the 4th Doctor. Yeah. You know, he wasn't quite himself for a little while.
Deep Breath isn't bad.
No,
I love it.
Anybody else got anything to add about Deep Breath?
Yeah, it was.
Apart from that, I loved it.
It was Sorry, Mary?
I said it was crap.
She's doing wrong.
can't get much straight on that. Right, so it was followed by
Mary's going to say that same thing for every single episode.
Right, hang on.
Pretty much.
Just
pretty
loop
much.
That for her whenever we get to a new episode. Just say it again. Say it again.
Yeah, I've done it over, yeah.
Okay, copy and paste. There we go.
No, the thing is that the problem I had with Deep Breath was that it was beating me over the head with all the fears that I think that Moffat and the writers and everybody had about introducing this new Doctor. Oh, he's old, you know. Oh, is anybody going to accept him? Oh, he's harsh, you know. All these things that I don't think anybody really had a problem with, but we had to spend the entire episode of either Clara, you know, being, oh my gosh, he's so old. Oh, he's so awful. You know, and him looking into mirrors and going, oh, look at that old face. And then bringing, Matt Smith in at the end. I mean, it's like somebody had to take a hold of us and say, oh, he's going to be good. He's going to be good in spite of how awful he looks right now.
That's my point on it. Although it was charming to see Matt Smith on the screen, because we love him. It was a bit like that. It was a bit like, you know, let's make it interesting for the Doctor Who fans by bringing in the previous Doctor to have a conversation more or less with the new one.
It's like we had to be convinced he would be all right. When if they had just started out with a cracking story, you know, where the Doctor was stepping up and, you know, being the Doctor, I think it would have been loved right from the start. But I hate this story.
That's quite interesting because this could be. I don't know if it's an actor's point of view, but I always watch an episode and put myself in a character's perspective, and I put myself in Clara's perspective, and I see all the explanations of why he's older, why he's grumpier, why he's, you know, colder, as a way to get Clara used to it instead of a way to, you know, take the audience's hand, as you were saying, and lead them through it. And I thought it worked from a character's point of view, and I enjoyed that more than just going, oh, they're just, you know, making sure everyone stays on board. And I also think the Doctor did jump right into it, where he abandoned Clara, dressed up as one of the, you know, robots.
Yes.
And then, you know, came in at the end. I thought he went right into it and was just really cold and calculating. It was very good. But that's, you know, my opinion.
Well, I just felt like it was more Clara's story than the Doctor's. And although I did not mind, I did not mind her being brought to the forefront because she was just kind of a, you know, an observer during the Matt Smith era.
She was just the mystery.
She was an actual character that we were learning about, starting with this.
Yeah.
So I was interested in the story for that reason. But then as the season went along, well, it kept being Clara's story, Clara's season, not the Doctor's.
Yeah. Which is a shame when it's a new Doctor.
Yeah, I want the Doctor.
Okay. Well, episode two.
Quite a bit of it.
Episode two was Into the Dalek. Now, I know Kirby hates this, but for me, I quite like
it. I don't hate it.
Well, you know what I mean, compared with other episodes.
Yes.
For me, I liked it simply because it was an innovative way of looking at a Dalek. It was obviously there were some issues with it. It looked like they were going to bring the character back, and maybe they will do in Series 9, I don't know. And for that, I was completely enthralled by the story and thoroughly enjoyed it. I don't know why, I just really, really enjoyed it. And I was quite surprised when I heard you, Kirby, didn't like it that much. So, go on then.
Yeah, that's interesting that you bring up we thought they were going to bring the character back because, you know, in the leaked episode, he does go back, Rusty goes back and explodes himself.
And the Dalek ship with him.
And the Dalek ship. Mm. And they cut that out, and I thought that the reason they did was so they could bring him back.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Which was, you know, that's what really, they've already released the DVD set. Now, I'll tell you what, and I don't know if they've got, deleted scenes or whatever. Maybe that's part of the deleted scenes. If anybody's got the box set of Series 8, you know, it'd be interesting to talk about that. Now, I haven't got it yet. I don't know whether I'm going to get it, simply because I've got all the episodes on iTunes. So anybody, if you've got Series 8, let us know what we've got in regards to the, you know, the leaked episodes and deleted scenes. Yeah, sorry, Kirby, carry on. Mm.
No, I'm done.
Okay. Mary, into what? The Dalek?
Okay, here again we have, you know, Clara saves the day, and the Doctor is dark and brooding and hates himself. And so what? I want a story of the Doctor. So, no, I think it's crap.
What about you, Reese? Am I the only person that likes this story?
No, I liked it too. I thought the thing I thought was a bit predictable about it and I was a bit iffy about was how they used the line from Dalek that you would make a good Dalek, you are a good Dalek. I thought I saw that coming from a mile off.
Mm-hmm.
And it was also the fact that Rusty would go bad again. But I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought it had, you know, great concepts of actually going inside a Dalek, and that certainly reinvented them from some rather weak stories we've had with them before, Daleks in Manhattan. I enjoyed it, and I do have to say that I think that this whole season has been a Doctor story. He didn't know who he was, so he's finding himself.
Season.
So he's finding himself. And yes, Clara had quite a presence in it, but it didn't become the Clara show. But that's just my
I think she'll have more presence in the episode we're about to see in a couple of weeks' time. Because obviously it's Christmas.
You've heard the rumours.
Presence. Have I? What rumours? If it's a spoiler, I don't want to know.
No, well, neither.
I don't know if it's a spoiler, but there's people are extrapolating on that 3 months thing.
Mm.
And also in the trailer, what is it she writes on the board?
I don't know.
Something about death.
All right.
You are all dying.
Something like that. I don't remember. I've only seen the trailer
that
once.
That looks creepy because she goes to rub it out and then there's another word. Oh, that's good.
So there's the possibility that it's that she's dying.
Okay, we'll find out in a couple of weeks' time.
Hope not.
Are we covered? Sorry, have we done them? Into the Dalek?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
The next one was...
You and I liked it.
Robot of Sherwood. Now, again, this is probably the episode that people might call Marmite because...
this is a Marmite episode.
Lighthearted.
Because it's fun. Why is it the fun ones are always Marmite?
I don't know. it was great. I really, really enjoyed it.
I loved it.
We had a couple of fairly dark episodes, and then we get this one, which gave us the new Doctor... proper, and we get to see the comedy element, you know, the lightheartedness of the Doctor. It was a bit silly at the end with the arrow. I don't care because it's just a thoroughly good story. I know Mary's going to disagree with me, but it sounds to me like Reese and Kirby quite enjoyed it. Am I correct?
Yes.
And Mary, yes,
and,
go on.
Sorry, go ahead, Kirby.
I
loved how they made the big point about the Dr. Anne and Robin being maybe fictional, maybe not.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. And of course, a little clip of Batchelor Troughton as well was what came into it. It's not quite
enough. Oh, yes.
Mary?
Well, here again, where the leaked early episode was way more interesting in what it puts out there as a possibility, that they totally cut out of the final episode that they put out. Because it's called The Robot of Sherwood. And I know there was, you know, sensitivity to beheading, you know, to, which is why they may have cut, you know, the scene out. But cutting that scene out takes away the fact that, the sheriff is actually a robot. Because in the final episode, it's not, you know, at all apparent, you know, or even hinted at. Yeah. So who is the robot of Sherwood?
It is hinted at the end with his hands coming out of the molten gold or whatever it was. But I reckon, as Adam on Staggering Stories said, they should have put an S in the title and left that scene.
Yeah,
correct. Because
then,
to hint at it, then it'd be robots.
There were robots obviously there, so that would have made sense. Yeah.
Yes,
and that's going to be interesting as well with the DVD release if they're going to address that.
Okay.
Mm.
One little moment in it that I absolutely loved, while I disliked all the rest, was when the doctor asks Clara, you know, where do you want to go? And she responds, and I think this is one of her best acting moments. She is so heartfelt, excited, happy, hopeful. Yeah, she's childlike when she wants to go to see Robin of Sherwood.
and then he's grumpy and says he doesn't exist.
I just love that one little moment. You know, the rest of it I found pretty tedious.
Okay, right. Listen.
Grump. We are.
Good.
Right,
listen. Now, again, even though I'm not that keen on the character of Danny Pink, this was a little bit of sort of timey-wimey, travelling around in the TARDIS, and a bit of the Doctor's childhood as well, for that matter. So I just think it's a charming little story, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. But I agree with Mary to a certain degree. Again, it's the Clara show. But I would have probably called the Dr. Light episode, even though he's in it quite a lot. No, I for some reason, I quite enjoy Listen, I'm afraid. So anybody else, apart from Mary, that actually liked it?
I like Listen a lot.
Yes.
That my issues now with Listen are the fact that it introduced a lot of questions, which apparently were going to let some more questions go out there and never be answered.
Orson. They might be answered. Orson.
Yeah, exactly. Orson.
Yeah, but again, we don't know what's going to happen with Danny, you know, whether they'll find a way of bringing him back or whether she's already pregnant or whatever, whether she's had a baby and nobody's seen it.
And what the creature is under the blanket.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think it's a child. I think it's a child.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, Amy was pregnant and we never saw it.
Yeah.
So anything's possible.
I think these are you're sort of creating arguments for Mary's reasons, if you know what I mean, by saying stuff like that is probably the reasons why Mary doesn't like it. Isn't that right, Mary?
Well, it's front and center of the Clara show, and I just found it very confusing and unsatisfying.
Okay.
Is it crap?
It's crap. Yeah. It's crap.
So what we've got for the positive from Ben is it's all right. What we've got from Mary is it's crap. Whereas for me, I really don't know how I feel about this. And I enjoy the scenes in the restaurant where there's a date. And I love the fact that there's an interview on the Nerdist podcast with Jenna Coleman, where she said she's incredibly awkward with dates and she wouldn't put it past Stephen Moffat for writing it in an episode after this interview, which he did. I quite enjoy Peter Capaldi giving the encouraging speech to Orson or young Danny or whichever character it was. Again, I get confused by this episode, but about how fear is a powerful motivator. I love the concept of something under your bed. And the whole idea that Moffat does make these scary creatures. He comes up with weeping angels and the gas mask mummy from the Empty Child two-parter. And the concept in this that as Clara says, you put your back against the wall when you're scared, but when you're laying in bed, your
where your back is under your bed, so there could be a monster under there. I love how it sets up an atmosphere, and it's quite strong with that atmosphere, but I also just, I don't think I quite get the story, so I don't enjoy it entirely. But it's all right, I'll say that.
Right. Okay.
It's all right.
Five is Time Heist, which for me was a bit of a... I didn't hate it. I mean, although I like all Doctor Who, but like I say, for me it was a very much a filler episode. It's not one, if I had a choice of watching, it'd be right down near the bottom of the list. And I didn't like the sort of the character that was very much like Madame Kaverian, you know, Director Karabraxos, or whatever her name was. Too sort of typical of previous female baddies. In fact, she had a certain amount of similarity to Missy in some ways. I didn't really like it about that much. What about you then, Kirby?
This was just a meh. It wasn't it wasn't bottom three, but it was just meh. Yeah. And I never understood why some people make this one of their favorites.
Mm. Okay. Mary?
I do.
It set up expectations that were quickly disappointed because it became very predictable early on.
It had similar thing, you know, like the sort of, what was it? It was a teller, wasn't it? The thing had its trapped
mate. It started out, you thought, ooh, this is going to be kind of fun, you know?
But yeah, then it was very much like
you could predict very quickly, oh, I know where this is going,
and it went there. Heist movies, you have a group of people with specific skills. You know at least three of them are going to get out of it, but the rest of them could be offed at some point. Mm. And as it turns out, they're all saved at the end.
You can guess early on.
Yeah, you know who set the whole thing up. I loved this one, to be honest. I like that Doctor Who is a show that has the whole concept of is that it's an alien who travels around in a blue box that can go through time and space, which means you could tell any story you want. And this week they decided to tell a heist story. And I quite liked the characters. I quite liked the pace that it had to it. Capaldi certainly felt settled in the role by this episode. And he kind of had, you know, a bit of a sparky relationship with, Sai, or what's his name? The guy who, connects with the, computer and his brain. There's like a relationship where he asks, who put you in charge? And he says, well, it's the eyebrows. I can command people with them. And then Clara just kind of nods. You know, I go, I enjoy that.
Clara's got a set of eyebrows on her, though, hasn't she?
But the ending made no sense.
Okay. Made no sense. It was just a bit.
It
was a repeat of Hyde. Yeah.
But Hyde was much better.
I enjoy the episode. Yeah. I like it.
Okay. Well, next was Caretaker.
Wait a minute. What? Are you ready? Ready?
Go on then.
It was crap. Okay.
There we go. Right.
Next was
I was going to ask you if it was just crap. I was going to ask you if it was just meh or crap.
Okay, never mind.
It's just crap.
Any of them meh to her, or are they all just crap?
No, they're not all crap, no.
Okay, right. Caretaker was next.
Good.
Caretaker, again, it was nice to be able to... Yeah, it was charming. Being able to... Coal Hill School is obviously key to the history of Doctor Who, and to be able to bring that into current Doctor Who was great. And it was it was quite similar to School Reunion in some ways, a similar sort of situation. It wasn't as good by a long way, but it had a certain similarity to it where the doctor infiltrates the school and pretends to be somebody. When previously was a teacher, now he's the caretaker. I thought it was slightly better than meh, this particular story. And what's your quick question then, Rhys?
About the whole school reunion thing, this is something that has been talked about on Staggering Stories. Is school reunion really good just because it has Sarah Jane in it and because we love Sarah Jane?
Probably.
Or is the story, you know, does it stand up, or could it just be any generic monster that brings them together?
I don't know.
No, school reunion is just good overall.
It is good. But
I love school reunion.
I think the fact
it's
that
it's a generic monster.
Doesn't have to be.
Mickey has a moment
the story
of revelation
without
in it.
Sarah Jane and K-9.
Yeah, he's the gin dog.
No, it wouldn't be that story.
Yeah, but it changes his character after that.
No, it's
very good. Okay.
But it wouldn't exist, would it? Because it is basically about Sarah Jane and K-9 and them getting back together, so there wouldn't be any point for it, so it wouldn't work. So and it is with Sarah Jane and K-9, therefore it is a good story.
Yeah.
Where were we? Caretaker. Go on then, Kirby.
This one was fine. My only issue with it was, I think, the super flip by Danny.
Oh, gosh, yes.
But other than that, I didn't mind this one at all.
Okay. Yeah.
I think the thing with Gareth Roberts, though, is he writes such... I think he likes to write the cliche, because he wrote a very cliche monster, and then they designed a very cliche alien, and then the resolution of it was, this is an action hero, let him be an action hero, sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I loved it.
Okay.
And waiting for Mary to say it was crap.
Go on in, Mary.
Well, once again, it's the Clara show. You know, it's all about her life and, you know, what's going on with her, and the doctor's kind of in the background. The only part of it that I really enjoyed was the interaction between the doctor and that student, because I thought, ooh, she's got potential.
Yeah. Courtney, the president of the United States.
I like Courtney.
So I wanted to see more of Courtney and the doctor. I thought she would make a great, you know, companion, but that was kind of thrown away very quickly, and the rest of the story was crap.
Okay.
Oh, God, I disagree.
Right, next was Kill the Moon, again, a Marmite episode. I thoroughly enjoyed Kill the Moon. I didn't worry about the embryonic monster in the egg, and the moon stroke egg.
Yeah.
Apparently the moon size should have changed. Well, they did explain
it.
And it was very Doctor Who-y, original idea. So I do like it when Doctor Who can do that after
and
being around
50
years.
And the location is...
Lanzarote, yeah.
Mentioned was fantastic.
Brilliant.
It looked like the moon.
It certainly did. Yeah. So all in all, a thoroughly good Doctor Who story. I remember reveling about it at the time, but some people absolutely hate this. I know somebody amongst us lot that absolutely hate it. So, Kirby, what did you think of Kill the Moon?
I liked it. I liked it. And the thing is that a lot of the Marmite stuff that I hear about it are people who didn't pay attention. But they are all upset about the moon still being there. When they explain that they did, it laid
a new egg,
right? Hmm. And the mass increased before it hatched.
Yeah. But they didn't really have to do that explanation. But some people some people do need
it.
So
too,
therefore,
I was quite iffy about the end. To be honest, I used to think that it's so convenient that the new egg looks just like the other one. It's the same size and everything. And then I went, well, actually, this is a giant alien creature we've never heard of before. Yes. Maybe that's how they lay their eggs. And then I thought, what the hell?
Yeah, exactly.
And I love the episode.
You're good.
It's good.
Me
it's
too.
Quite fun.
What about you, Mary?
Well, if Clara hadn't already been front and center for so many episodes, I would have enjoyed her more because I thought she did a very good job in this episode. But once again, you know, she's front and center.
Jenna or the character?
And the character.
Yeah.
No, I think Jenna Coleman does an excellent job. I admire her acting. I think she does a fabulous job. But my problem is this is Doctor Who and not the Clara show. So once again, Clara is front and center. Yes.
Until episode...
It's her episode.
12, when she becomes the Clara show completely, doesn't it? With the opening
but other thing. Than her performance, which I did admire and thought this would have been a good cracking story if I hadn't seen so much of her before this, were just so many things that didn't make sense. If the moon is throwing everything off at Earth, which it should, you know, why are the tides still rolling just like always? Why, when she lets the, you know, Earth in quotes vote, why do we only get to see one side of the Earth, and why do they get to be the ones that vote? You know?
Yes, I knew you had an issue with that already.
I actually agree with that. That's an issue.
Yeah.
I agree.
Although Rob Lloyd said in the show that I did, you can imagine the Australians still give you the go, still turning the lights on and off. All right, we'll try putting a strip at the Barbie and waiting for it to happen.
I did celebrate the fact that now we're on the moon. We got off of Earth finally, you know, and we're on the moon. Yay, something on the moon. And something scary, some scary creature on the moon. But then it turns out to be spiders and webbing, which can't exist without oxygen. So,
well, they're an alien creature. It's not all.
So that made no sense at all.
Okay.
So this, I would put this at almost crap.
Okay.
Wow. That's actually praise.
The next one.
This is one of the two that I, you know, that I liked more than others. Yes.
Right. Mummy on the Orient Express, which was very, very good indeed. I don't think we need to talk about it. Unless somebody disagrees and thinks it's not very good.
No. This for me was the highlight of the season. Yes.
Okay. Anybody?
And we, disagree with that?
It was a doctor story. The doctor figured this out. Clara was sidelined and I was so happy.
The best of the series. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well done to who wrote this one? Paul Wilmhurst, was it? Or was that Jamie Matheson?
No, that was Jamie Matheson.
Sorry, Wilmhurst was the director. Yeah, sorry. Yes. So Flatline was next.
I quite liked Flatline
because it was...
Oh, I almost said season.
I quite liked that because it was you know, again, another original idea and it was
and
quite scary.
Brilliant.
Yeah. The sort of characters are in it that were quite enjoyable as well. The cleaners and they were community service people, weren't they? Weren't over the top with their, you know, sometimes you get these characters that come in for a story and they're all a bit sort of unbelievable and over the top, but these ones were quite good fun.
Jamie Matheson for showrunner.
The
writing in another episode.
I seem to remember the only issue that most people had with this was that the train was a bit badly rendered. It doesn't matter, does it?
So
I enjoyed it. Reese enjoyed
the
Kirby enjoyed it.
The train had a reference to A113.
Yes, okay. So we enjoyed it. Yeah. Go on then, Mary. What didn't you like about it?
The same complaint I have for the whole season is it's crap. The Clara show. Yeah. She's the one solving everything. She's the one doing it all. The doctor is sidelined in the shrunken little TARDIS until the very end.
I don't think it is. The doctor's telling her what these creatures are.
Yeah.
Oh, she's just
the one experiencing
it. She's doing things
though.
On her own, though. She's not necessarily listening
to
him.
It's him that turns up at the end to sort everything out.
I also like at the end the way he says that she was a very competent doctor, as in taking up that role.
Yes. Yes.
Being good is nothing to do with it. And it shows that he does put up with a lot. So I think the whole season has a nice balance between the two, to be honest, in terms of their character development.
I think almost but every episode is a Dr. Light episode.
Okay.
No.
Well, it is a bit Dr. Light, especially when the TARDIS was in her handbag.
I am so looking forward to getting another different companion, please.
Yes. One that'll actually be a companion and not the main character.
Well, no, I think they can
she isn't the main character.
No, I think they can do quite well with Clara as a companion, just make the Doctor more, you know,
prominent.
More, yeah, exactly. I think there's nothing wrong with Clara as a character.
I think seeing as he's discovered who he is,
yes.
who he's always been, an idiot with a blue box and a sonic screwdriver, he can get back to
being
angsty about, who am I? I better be careful about how I deal with this because I might start being an evil person if
I
do some
evil
acts.
And also, the writers now have seen Capaldi in a series and now can write for
exactly.
him. So hopefully that's what we're going to get next time. The next story was In the Forest of the Night, which, again, is a bit of a filler episode. It's a bit silly in some ways, but on the whole, I actually quite enjoyed
Great
it.
Great character development.
It looked wonderful.
And it set up a premise that, again, you know, didn't fulfill.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. But
it's also got a reflection of what happened, the Doctor forcing Clara to make a decision and leaving her in Kill the Moon, whereas now she's telling him to go away. So it's a reverse of that and kind of getting revenge on him for putting her through that emotional turmoil.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, can I go back to...
it being the Clara show?
Steady on!
One of my cats just knocked something over that broke.
She's fed up with you calling it the Clara show.
Let me say this, that in Kill the Moon, when Clara goes off on the Doctor at the end, I was cheering for her because I thought, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
In the same place, I would be so angry at him. Then it really confused me when she shows up in the next episode and they're all cozy
addicted
again.
Addicted to the
TARDIS. Because it's been a few months.
Yeah.
Or a few weeks, or however long.
In Forest of the Night. Yeah. So, crap, Mary?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
He's all right.
Okay, well, unfortunately, it leads to a rather bad run towards the end of the series for you, Mary. For us, it was just the last two episodes. For you, it was the last three episodes, more or less. So, yeah, Dark Water, Death in Heaven.
No, I didn't like In the Forest of the Night either.
Okay. Well, me and Reese are in disagreement with that one. We quite liked it to a degree. Right, so Dark Water, Death in Heaven, for me, individually, they're a complete letdown. There are, like always, good bits in it because Missy is amazing.
Missy
character.
Was good, yes.
Yes. She's great. Yes. And there was some of the other characters in it are really, really good. Seb, I think, was it Seb? The bloke in heaven.
Chris Addison, yep.
Yeah. Some really, really good characters.
Permission to Squee, yes.
Episode 2 had enjoyable elements in it. I thought the Cyber Brigadier was a bit of an insult, to be fair. And the killing of Osgood, Moffat seemed to get some sort of perverted enjoyment out of killing off Osgood, but I'm still disappointed about that. They could have killed off anybody, really.
I think that he's lying to us again because he said that she's permanently dead.
They could bring back her in the guise of the Zygon one, I suppose, but I don't think they'll do that.
That's another plot thing which has been completely ignored.
Yeah, but if
where are those Zygons?
They've probably gone back to the wrong planet. But the thing is, though, if she's dead, the Zygon can't maintain the body print.
Oh, that's true. Correct.
There you go. So on the whole, that was a bit of a letdown. Although, to be fair, if I put it on, I'd still probably quite enjoy watching it because it's a Doctor Who story. But letdown for me. What do you think, Kirby?
If I may quote Mary, crap.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Well, did you think this was crap, Mary?
It's hard to be let down when the whole season has been such a disappointment.
Yeah,
well, it must be worse.
But I do want to say that I like Missy. Missy as the master, and I think Michelle Gomez is perfect. I loved everything
she did
as Missy.
Series.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to her coming back.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I dismiss all the rest of it, but I liked Missy.
And dealing with the Brigadier that way was a complete travesty.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean,
I reckon
the little...
it would have been all right if they had the picture. But having
Cyberbrig.
Yeah. I would like if they had.
End up killing himself at the end like all the other ones. That doesn't make sense. But
none of it makes sense.
No, I would have liked it if they had linked handles to the character somewhere along the line. Yeah.
Master?
Yes?
Have
a good Christmas, Adam.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, Mrs. Clark,
and I shall see you.
Have a lovely
Christmas. How you doing, Kevin? Right.
Now this is the time
that
when my friend is supposed to be
sitting
there. I know, go for your little
window.
Master?
Yes?
As the Two-Minute Time Lord put it yesterday, the Cybermen used to be scary, but now that people...
No, they hug people.
There's ways of getting around it now. You can, as long as you are... really, really, really hard, fight it hard, you can no longer be cyber converted.
Right. Right.
True.
Love will save you even with the Cyber Brigadier.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm very disappointed in this use of the Cybermen. Because they've always been my favorite monster, and now they're just these lovey, cuddly things.
Yeah, okay then. So,
well, I do have to say that I completely disagree with all of you.
Really? good. I'd love to hear why.
I can see where Kirby's coming from, where he doesn't like it for it being dark. I think that the Almost People two-parter is dark, yet it fails completely. But this one is dark, yet emotionally gripping for me at least, because the minute that Danny was hit by the car... and Clara then betrayed the Doctor, and it all turned out to be a dream. I thought that was a clever way to have the character betray the Doctor without actually doing it. And then that gorgeous scene, which is just brilliantly acted and written and directed, and one of my favourite scenes in all of Doctor Who, where she says, "You're actually helping me even though I betrayed you," and he, tells her, "Yes, you betrayed me, but do you think betraying me, or I care for you so little that betraying me would make a difference?" I love that line, I love that scene. In fact, I love the first part of it. It's all so strong. But then the only real thing that saves the second part for me is Missy, as has been mentioned before. Mm-hmm. And Capaldi. He does a great performance.
Absolutely, yeah. There's always good things in bad episodes you can pick out. So, absolutely.
And the ending, too.
I agree with you totally about that opening scene, and it is quite moving when he sort of in a doctorish way, but not like blatant RTD way, said, "I love you, Clara," but didn't actually say those words.
Yes, that's what Moffat said. This doctor thinks that it should just be taken as a given that he loves her, not romantically, just cares for her as a friend.
Yeah.
And he's surprised that he has to say it at that moment, yet he does say it anyway.
Yeah.
So with this doctor, most things like that are under the surface, and he behaves cold and, you know, disconnected from people emotionally, like in Into the Dalek, where he says, you know, he's the top layer if you want to say a few words.
Yeah.
Whereas he does care about people still. He just doesn't say it as much.
Well, he's an alien, and I like him that way.
Yeah, so absolutely.
I don't like him being my cuddly boyfriend. I like him being an alien.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh. And I love the ending too, how they both part on a lie and they both know that they're lying.
Yeah, yes. the ending was very good.
Yeah. Apart from the Danny bit, you know, the dead Danny bit.
Yeah.
And the little boy coming down. Didn't like that.
Oh my gosh, yes.
By the ending, I'm talking about the
last scene between the Doctor and Clara. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. So, there we go. I think we've done rather well doing that. A little bit of gloss over some news, if you like. Apparently, Stephen Moffat is continuing his steady rise up through the ranks of Media Guardian's top 100 most powerful people in UK media. He's now at number 84. So, well done, the Moff.
84!
Yeah, last time he was at 94, or was it 92? Yeah. 92 last time.
Wow.
There's a Lethbridge Stewart novel series, that's been announced. Looks like there's going to be four
Adventures
books.
Of Cyberbrig?
Yeah, no, apparently not. The Radio Times Christmas issues have been released, or the covers have. One hasn't got any Doctor Who reference on it, and one has. And there's a picture, obviously, of Santa, the Doctor, and Clara. As tradition would have it, with the BBC at Christmas. Right. Last Christmas interviews. There's some interviews about Last Christmas that you can sort of see on DoctorWhoNews.net. I presume there's some spoilers in there somewhere, so because they've, you know, got little expand buttons on them.
Master?
Yes?
Master? I'm real mixed on whether or not... I'm real worried that Last Christmas is going to be not good, but then I just noticed... it's directed by the same person who directed Kill the Moon and Mummy on the Orient Express.
Mm, that doesn't mean anything.
So this
ooh, okay.
No, it could.
A director,
yeah, a director can make or break it.
Okay, well,
yeah, but a director can only take the material given to him.
I'm fairly confident because everybody thinks it's going to be ridiculous that it's actually going to be quite good.
I don't think it's going to be ridiculous. So,
well, it's not everybody. A lot of people, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Think it's,
well, my expectations are low, so it can only get better.
Yeah, exactly. So
I didn't like last year. So
no,
I didn't like last
humbug.
Year.
What else we got here? We got a new trailer is out for Last Christmas. That was actually on TV the other day, and quite enjoyable, has to be said. I'm not going to play it now.
But TV. Who watches TV?
Oh, I do. There's a Christmas issue of Doctor Who magazine out as well, and we've had a sad parting, as we tend to get most weeks nowadays. Tom Adams, who was known to Doctor Who fans for playing Commander Vorschach, the leader of the Sea Base 4 in the 1984 episode, unfortunately called Warriors of the Deep, which I just slagged off earlier on. But yes, he's sadly passed away at the age of 76. So there we go. Right, so, yes?
Yeah, you just mentioned the new Doctor Who magazine.
Yes.
The other day I went to Barnes & Noble and I picked up three DVDs, and I completely forgot to go over and even check to see what the latest Doctor Who magazine. I was just so thrilled to be getting three DVDs that I had been missing and have wanted for a while.
The dog's choking. I do have to... Hang on, I'll be back in a sec. Carry on.
Your little heart would have gone pity-pat at Chicago TARDIS because they had a whole rack of Doctor Who magazines, you know, dating back, you know, from a year ago to the present there.
Right.
Well, actually, I'd like to see some of the Doctor Who weeklies. I'd love to see some.
Right. Hang on, I got tangled up in my seat. Right. Well, Debbie never turned up, so I can move now. Right, you talked about the Doctor Who magazine, which you can buy from whowon.co.uk, where I went.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
Yes. Yes, if you want to get it quicker, Kirby, buy it from there. You get it through the... might have to pay slightly more with postage and stuff, but you will get it quicker.
Postage probably as much as the magazine.
So the magazine retails at £5.99. So go to whoone.co.uk, where you can also buy some good Christmas gifts for your Doctor Who fan friends, like the TARDIS purse and the Adabos purse. TARDIS wallet, a Dalek wallet, and the TARDIS pocket pal. Now, elsewhere on their website is loads of others. I've been in the shop, they've got loads and loads of stuff. In fact, I bought a Doctor Who coaster which has the Seal of Rassilon logo on it, and that was $12.99. You can actually buy them in a set as well, so, and I think Nick at Who One would probably prefer it if you bought it in the set, but I just bought the Seal of Rassilon one. Yes?
I just noticed in the news listings here that Australia doesn't get to see the Christmas episode until the day after Christmas.
Oh,
Friday at 7:30 p.m.
The reason is that they have Christmas. Yeah, they have Christmas before we do.
Yeah, well, there you go then.
So if we got it on Christmas night for us, or
you get it ahead of us.
Evening of Christmas Day, then it'll be about 4 in the morning for you or whatever the time. So it's completely fair, I think.
Okay. So lavazi.co.uk. What?
Master, it's 5 till. I realize it's a little bit early, but I've got a couple of things I've got to do real fast before I head out the door. So,
at the moment, we're projecting the next episode to be on Saturday, the 27th of December. Is that all right with everybody? I was thinking about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, but it would be difficult for you, Reese. So we might have to rejiggle the time to suit you a bit. But at the moment,
Probably okay with me.
Okay, we'll pencil it in then.
I'll have to let you know.
We'll pencil it in then. But I'll just say about lavazi.co.uk, where you can get various Tom Baker scarves and brilliant cosplay stuff. So lavazi.co.uk. So with that, a very abrupt end to the show. Thank you for listening. Have a very, very happy Christmas, and we'll see you just afterwards with our
Merry Christmas.
Happy Christmas.
Yes. And
Merry Christmas.
Debbie says it as well. Not my Debbie, the other Debbie.
Enjoy Doctor Who.
Yes, goodbye.
Goodbye, Fancy Pants, and thanks to whoever said that last week, too.
By the way, that will be our 250th episode next week, and it will be our Christmas show. So, enjoy! Bye!
Bye.
Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is the trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.